It's our Revive Us Again Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7 read, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation." It's Fall Share-a-thon on American Family Radio, and we're calling on God to revive us again. Call 877-616-2396 and pledge your support. That's 877-616-2396, or give online at afr.net. It's Fall Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Today's Thursday, October the 10th, in case you didn't know, 2024. If you don't know what year it is.
We can't help you, can
you? Nah, you know, just quit writing checks.
Okay. Or write even more if you
don't know what year to
if you don't know what numbers you're putting down, just keep writing those checks. I remember when my daughter was younger, she wanted something and we said, "Nah, we don't have the money for that." And she said, "Well, just write a check. You've got checks."
That is how kids understand. Yeah. At least in the old days.
Yeah, the old days we had
checks. Now you just say, "What do you mean you don't have money? Just get the card out.
Just swipe that card.
Swipe that card. It's painless."
Well, you swipe the card and they give us stuff.
There is something psychological about handing over cash instead of swiping the card.
It's more painful.
Yeah, well, if you carry around cash, which people rarely do now, and you pay out, $45 for something, a dinner or whatever, and then you go, "Wow, but if you swipe it, hey,
yeah, it's
everybody's happy.
And our house, I know this is not the case at your house. At my house, I keep up with the finances.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, nothing's more irritating than going over the bank, not the statement, but just like the, for the week, what we're spending money on. And it's like, swipe for a cup of coffee, swipe, all these little swipes. I'm going, I have to enter all this stuff.
I know. You just need to get some cash for those kinds of things instead of swipe, receipt.
Yes.
You got 20 receipts. One of them's $3. One of them's $4.
Oh.
All right. So anyway, we talking about things that don't matter at all.
It's called first world problems.
Yes. I guess they do matter if it's your household and your finances. But anyway, thanks for joining us here on Share-a-thon. It's the last day. What is our theme for Share-a-thon this year, this fall?
It is Revive Us Again, our fall Share-a-thon. The theme is Revive Us Again. Now, folks, we really do have a team of folks who consider they're connected with American Family Radio, and they pray about what we should have as a theme. And then they kick it around to, leadership, and we say, "I like that. That just seems to resonate." And Revive Us Again is the theme because, folks, we need revival in America. And we're all about, here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, getting registered to vote, going to vote, showing up at school board meetings. We're all about that kind of activism. But we all also know here that we need God to pour out his spirit. And so Revive Us Again is the theme. Here is the verse that was chosen.
Verses to represent
that theme. It's from Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7. And here's what it says. "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation." So that is our theme for our fall Share-a-thon. And we're asking you to be as generous as you can and give to our Share-a-thon. And to make your pledge or pledges, here's the phone number you can call. We have folks standing by, sitting by, doing both, ready to engage with those who call in. Here's the number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. 2396, or you can give safely and securely online at AFR.net. And Tim, if you don't mind, I'd like to share about our Fall Share-a-thon 2024 premium.
What's a premium?
A premium is it's a happy. We, you know, with kids and grandkids, it's a happy that we like to show our appreciation. We understand it's not going to match the generosity of those who give, but it's our way of saying thank you. And here's how we kind of break this down. For a one-time gift of $150
or more,
you will receive a small Revive Us Again travel bag.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you become a Great Commission partner, which is someone who gives on a regular monthly basis, if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you'll not only receive the small Revive Us Again travel bag, but you will receive an excellent book, and it is by your very own Tim Wildman. The name of the book, the title of it is Because These Things Matter, a compilation of cultural, of cultural commentaries. I don't have my reading glasses with me, and this print is small on the little sheet we have. Because These Things Matter, a compilation of cultural commentaries. This is a collection of columns that Tim, our very own Tim Wildman, has written over the years for our monthly magazine. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you that we have a Revive Us Again $150,000 challenge that's been going on since 8 a.m. Central, goes until 12 p.m. noon Central Time. What is a challenge, $150,000 challenge? Well, a group of supporters has generously donated leading up to Share-a-thon, and they are now challenging you, our listeners, to come alongside them to support the work of AFA and AFR. So $150,000 challenge that is going to be going on for the next really hour and almost 45 minutes. So the number to call is 877-616-2396, or you can go online to give at AFR.net.
I think that about covers it, Ian.
That covers it, right?
Yeah. You went on for, that was a good 5-minute lecture got right there.
You know, I'm all about giving people information.
Yeah, and you did.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, what's on the news docket there?
Well, 24 hours ago, we were talking about the pending arrival of Hurricane Melton down in Florida. And now it has passed. Milton has gone out into the Atlantic, but leaving in its wake a lot of damage. We were talking yesterday, as I say, 24 hours ago, about one of the things they were concerned about was a huge surge. They were talking up to 18 feet surge of water, particularly Tampa Bay and that area along the West Coast. Well, that did not transpire to the extent that they were worried about. However, what wasn't talked about initially leading up to Milton's arrival was the danger of tornadoes. But there were 120-plus tornado warnings yesterday, and one in particular in St. Lucia County on the East Coast, and that's just above West Palm Beach, that area. And a tornado hit in there at that area, creating tremendous damage. At the moment, we are hearing reports of anywhere from 4 to 6 fatalities overall in the state, but that number is expected to climb. We don't want to diminish, talk about, damage was minimal. It was not. It was very extensive. The tornado ended up coming, or the hurricane ended up coming in south of Tampa, so the surge was not as bad, but the rainfalls were very extensive up on the north side of the hurricane. So we're talking areas like Orlando and areas north of that. There is still concern for flooding because all of this rain dumps down in that area into streams, etc., that then dump into rivers. And so you have rivers in the central area of Florida that are still rising. So there is still pending danger in all of this. So just because Milton has now moved over to the Atlantic, don't think that there aren't still dangers. There are dangers in recovery. There are warnings this morning to people. For instance, you may go outside because right now on the West Coast, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, it looks really nice. But they're warning people about going out and staying away from power lines because there is still active power in many places. Now, there's 3 million people plus without power this morning, but there's still areas where electricity is still flowing through those power lines. Believe it or not, they still have to continue warning people about generators. Do not turn on your generator inside your house. That is a bad thing to do. That can cause problems. There are people now who want to get outside and start removing limbs and that sort of thing. They're warning people about that. That can be very dangerous because some of these trees are in a very precarious position. If you start going around trying to remove boughs, et cetera, you can create a lot of damage. In fact, I think it was Governor DeSantis in a press briefing this morning said, a lot of the injuries and even fatalities take place after a hurricane leaves. So the caution is out there. Be very, very careful. The other thing they're working on this morning is testing all the bridges. There are a lot of people who live in kind of islands, small islands off the coast, the West Coast there. And so they're checking those bridges. There's some big bridges like in the Tampa Clearwater area. Yeah, I think it's the Courtney Campbell Causeway that links Tampa with Clearwater. A lot of debris on those bridges. There's this Skyline Bridge, I think it is, between St. Pete's and Sarasota. That was closed late yesterday, so they're checking those. The bridge that, and I think, Ed, you're aware of this, the bridge that Governor DeSantis got credit for rebuilding within what?
It went to Sanibel Island?
Yes, 3 days. There was one report this morning that that bridge is out again. So they're looking at all of those things. But it was very interesting. One of the priorities Governor DeSantis said was this morning is to get people back to their homes as quickly as possible, but as safely as possible. So that's where we are with all of this this morning. But, you know, I mentioned St. Lucia County. The spokesman there, Eric Gill, talked about the tornadoes that came into his area. Again, St. Lucia County is on the east coast of Florida. Cut number one.
So yesterday, after the storms passed through, we had search and rescue crews out there trying to get folks into shelters before the storm actually made impact to our area. You know, the tornadoes were ahead of the hurricane, twisted metal, cars upside down. Our medical examiner has confirmed at least 4 fatalities throughout the county. We expect that number, you know, potentially to go up, but we as the sun comes up this morning, we're going to have crews out there doing additional rescue, search and rescue. We had, in a 2-hour time frame, we had over 900 calls to our emergency operations center.
Now, once again, Governor DeSantis getting a lot of credit for putting resources in place so that the recovery can go more smoothly. There's something like 50,000 power crews from across the nation that are waiting and ready to move into those areas to start restoring power. So the preparations that were put in place seem to have worked extremely well. But there is this caution now about people not being too anxious to try to go in and start cleaning up themselves around their property. Just being very careful. And there's all kinds of resources that are being put in place.
People put generators in their house?
Some people make that mistake.
They haul
it into their garage or something like that, and that is a very dangerous thing to do.
Well, listen, it's we all know that it's difficult to get people to leave their homes when evacuation orders are issued.
Yes.
People think they know better, and you know, some people do.
Are they it's sensationalism? We're being exaggerated, especially if you're a little boy cried wolf,
right?
Syndrome, you know, two times you've been warned, get out, we're all gonna die,
right?
That nothing like that happens, and then the third time it does happen, and you wish you would have left.
Yeah, and so that's on the front end. The opposite problem happens on the back end of a situation like this. People want to go back.
Right.
And so then they ignore the warnings, like Governor DeSantis is saying, and others saying, please give us time to make sure power lines are picked up and right. bridges are checked. So it's human nature on both sides of a potential major disaster like this. But I can see where people want to flood. They want to flood back to their homes. They want to check to see if we got a home left and you know, how much damage there was. But
did you say people want to flood back to their home?
That was a poor choice of words.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was trying to save you right there, but you'd already said it.
I'd already said it. Huh? They want to rush back. How about that? That's not a whole lot better. But
one of the more dramatic scenes, and Ed, you and I were talked about this morning, this stadium in Tampa Bay.
Yes, Tropicana Field,
yes,
I think.
Yes, it had a kind of a cloth roof on it.
Yeah.
That was completely removed, and they were using that as a shelter. But the winds were so high that that roof just came right off.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so it's exposed. I mean, so, and it's we won't know for probably this afternoon or tomorrow the extent of the damage, probably.
Mm. Yes.
You know exactly how, but it was bad for a wide swath of Florida.
Yeah.
3 million people without power right now. But as you say, Fred, you know, the Americans are pretty good at helping one another, and the trucks from all over the country will be down in Florida getting folks back. Actually, I'm surprised it's not more than that. 3 million. Florida's 23 million people, I think, something like that. So 3 million people out of power. That's still bad, but that's not, you know, that's what, maybe a tenth of the state's population. But if it's you, that's right. All that matters, right? Right. If it's your house and the flooding and such. But anyway, that's the situation. That's the number one story right now in the country is the aftermath of the hurricane that went through Hurricane Milton that went through Florida last night. You're listening to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. We have a station in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
A lot of
relatively new station for us the last several years.
Yeah, they're getting hit with high winds right now. I saw that a while ago. Jacksonville, Florida, we have a station. And, of course, we have a lot of stations in Georgia that were hit by and Florida right. that were hit by the and North Carolina that were hit by the first hurricane that came through. Seemed like this one just popped up 5 days ago or something like that, didn't it?
It formed quickly.
Out in the Gulf.
Yeah, it formed quickly off Yucatan Peninsula. And, you know, we've had the last several years, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, we've had fairly mild hurricane seasons,
right?
Haven't we?
Yeah.
But this one was back to back.
Yep.
1-2 punch.
All right. You're listening to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Let's hear from one of our listeners.
Hi, this is Haywood from Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I want to thank Dr. Don Wildman for what he's done over the last 40 years. He's been a great help to all America and all of Christian. And I was over road truck driver for many years. It was family while I was away from my family, and it's that way to this day. And I certainly appreciate it, and all the staff, people they have that work there, just so fantastic and knowledgeable and helpful in every way. And may God bless them until Jesus comes and gets us.
Are we back? All right. Ed, would you want to sing Revive Us Again, O Lord?
I would like to. I won't, but I'd like to be able to sing all kinds of things, but I have a terrible voice.
When did you come to realize that?
I was actually in sixth grade. I was actually in the school that we had a chorus.
Yeah. Tried out?
Yeah. No. And I made it. I mean, I tried out and had a good voice until my voice changed. And then it became like this.
So before your voice changed, you had potential.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like a child prodigy or something.
He was Ed the Soprano.
and now I'm on the Sopranos.
And
what are you looking at? So,
I can't, you know, our family, we have zero singing talent.
Nobody at all?
No. Not I can't even. My cousin, But that's extended family.
You're talking about the Wildman clan.
Yeah, nobody. Zero.
No music, no instruments either, playing instruments?
Just no? Well, of course, I played the cello. You know about that.
Yes, and I remember you were in the marching band with that cello.
The marching band with the cello. That was hard. Yes. A lot of people don't give cellists credit in the marching band.
Right.
They think, well, the drums and the trombone or whatever. But you march with a cello and then come see me, especially in like a Christmas parade.
Oh, my goodness.
and try to play it. And then, your bow, you lose strings. So you got to rise. And
you got to pick up your chair and run ahead, catch up, and then you play a couple.
It's a challenge, you know. But, hey, I'm not complaining.
No.
I was able to pull it off.
Fred, right. How about you? Just quickly, how about
musical talent in your family? Singing or instruments, Fred? We'll take either.
Well, I give credit to my wife. She plays piano.
Oh,
very
wow,
well,
okay.
And sings.
Do you gather around the piano and sing together?
We haven't done it for a while, but we have done it in the past.
Okay.
But my daughters haven't taken any interest in it, but Susie plays the piano really well.
Oh, wow.
That's a very nice
voice. I never liked gathering around the piano.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, when you mentioned gathering around the piano, growing up, we did have people, friends and a couple of family members who could play, and at Christmas time, you know, they would gather around the piano and sing Christmas carols, and I never liked gathering around the piano.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just
didn't like that.
Well, it was just, if I'm going to sing, I want to be singing in a big crowd so my voice does not stand out.
I got you.
So,
you know, right. I mentioned my wife, music. Yeah. She's been trying other instruments now, but she's made a threat.
Uh-oh.
She's threatened to buy bagpipes.
And
I draw the line there.
Yes,
you have to.
You got to stand your ground on that one.
Yeah, she's been talking about that.
Are you being serious?
I'm being serious. She said she's quite taken with the bagpipes, and I keep saying no.
Right.
No, especially this time of year, we're opening the windows.
You don't even say, "Let's think about this" or anything like. You just shut it down. You say,
"Well,
no,
here's the thing.
Please,
if she was skilled already with bagpipes, that's bad enough, just the music, okay?
Yeah.
But to practice
and
to try to become skilled, that would be painful.
You know, I come from an area, Scottish area. I have a Scottish background.
Right.
My mom's maiden name was Mackenzie. So, and there's actually a Gaelic college in the area I came from in Nova Scotia. But never kind of had any affection for bagpipes.
Yes.
Just don't.
Well, bagpipes are the kind of instrument you like in small doses.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, tiny.
Maybe a funeral song, or you know what I'm saying? Opening of the Olympic Games if they're in Scotland, for example. Maybe something like that. But
maybe a scene from Braveheart or something.
Yeah,
you know.
But you don't want to see the fella in the skirt, plaid skirt crossing the hill.
Here's a question. Yeah. When's the last time you heard bagpipes in a church?
I've never heard bagpipes in a church.
There you go.
Right.
Even God doesn't like them.
All right, Share-a-thon it is on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. We're going to talk to Sandy coming up next. Is that right?
Sandy Rios.
She'll be coming up next. Sandy can sing, and I'm being
serious.
She's like a classically trained.
Yes,
she's released albums.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. We haven't. Not that I know. Have you ever released an album?
I tried to release a photo album once, but that went nowhere.
We'll be back after this short time out with more of Share-a-thon. We'll talk to Sandy Rios. She has a very popular podcast on our AFR website.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some of our children have been cheated. They have the best chance at a good education, and countless opportunities belong to them in the business world. They have never had a time in history when their chance of making a good living was as good as it is right now. But they're cheated, robbed. And it is the parents who are to blame. Back during the Vietnam War, a young soldier named Terry J. lay wounded and near death. He was caught in a battle and saw no way to escape alive. So, following what he considered to be his final living minutes, he wrote a letter to his mother. The Bristol, Virginia Herald Courier carried the letter later. Here's what he said. Dear Mother, you let us down. You never taught us to pray, and you never even sent us to Sunday school where somebody else could have done so. Yet there I was, right on the brink of eternity, and I didn't even know how to commence or what to say to the Lord. So please correct this error before Bud and Sis get away from home. Luckily for me, our chaplain has befriended me, but it's an awful sensation to face death and not even know how to speak to God. I didn't make it up. I just clipped it from the paper. And the story's true. It happened just that way. So you see, some of our children are cheated. And we parents are the ones to blame. Shame on us for giving our children everything in life except that which they shall eternally need. Shame on those of us who call ourselves parents and yet raise our children ignorant of life's greatest riches. Twice shame upon us. We're guilty, and the error is on our record. Another soldier wrote the following poem. It too speaks of the way our children are cheated. Look, God, I've never spoken to you, but now I want to say, how do you do? You see, God, they told me you didn't exist, and like a fool, I believed all of this. Last night from a shell hole, I saw your sky. I figured right then they'd told me a lie. Had I taken the time to see the things you made, I'd know they weren't calling a spade a spade. I wonder, God, if you'd shake my hand. Somehow, I feel that you understand. Funny, I had to come to this hellish place before I had time to see your face. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say, but I'm glad, God, I met you today. I guess the zero hour will soon be here, but I'm not afraid since I know you're here. The signal? Well, God, I'll have to go. I like you lots, I hope you know. Looks like this will be a horrible fight. Who knows? I may come to your house tonight. Though I wasn't friendly with you before, I wonder, God, if you'd wait at the door. Look, I'm crying. Me, shedding tears. I wish I'd known you these many years. Well, I'll have to go now, God. Goodbye. Strange, since I met you, I'm not afraid to die. I didn't make the poem up. It was found on a 19-year-old soldier in Vietnam. The sad part is that he was dead. Indeed, many parents have cheated their children.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
This is James Carter in Robstown, Texas. I'm a longtime AFR listener. I have the app on my phone now. I work by myself in my truck all day long, and the scripture that came to mind was, as iron sharpens iron, so a brother sharpens the countenance of another, and you guys sharpen me. It's great to be able to spend time with y'all all day while I'm working. I'm in and out of the truck, and you guys have some great programming and great, great people there. And y'all love the Lord, and I love the Lord, and it's great to spend time with y'all. So I hope it is encouraging to you to know that you got people like me who you touch every single day.
Welcome back to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Call 877-616-2396 to pledge your support. That's 877-616-2396. Or give online at AFR.net. It's Fall Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Day three of our Fall Share-a-thon. We have Share-a-thons twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. And this is the time that we stop and say, hey, we have to pay the bills.
Passes. What do you call it? Pass the
virtual offering plate. Pass the virtual offering plate and tell folks, let folks know that we count on them. And people have been with us, you know, a long time. They know that. And people always respond. Our listeners always respond. by being as generous as they can with their financial contributions so that we can keep this radio network going and growing. We'd like to grow. Speaking of that, we have bought two new stations to add to our American Family Radio network, as they say. And we're not on the air there in these areas yet, but we will be hopefully by the end of the year once the FCC approves the sale. But the stations will cover Birmingham, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so with that, we'll probably be covering, I'm going to say, 70-80% of the state of Alabama once we complete those, get those stations on the air. So, and really, you add those, and then the way that the AFR app now is used by thousands, tens and thousands of people now, and it's growing every day. People are learning about the AFR app, you know, so people are not bound by, okay, can I get your radio signal or not? And or I lose you when I travel to this part of town or whatever.
Yeah.
You can just get the AFR app on your phone or your smart device, like an iPad or something, and listen anywhere, anytime, as long as you got high-speed internet. So take advantage of that. If you want to make a gift, Ed, what do we got going on this hour here?
Well, we have a Revive Us Again. That the theme of our Share-a-thon is Revive Us Again. So we have a Revive Us Again $150,000 challenge, which lasts up until noon Central Time. So just inside of an hour and a half left. $150,000 challenge. What does that mean? Well, a group of supporters generously donated $150,000 leading up to Share-a-thon, and they are now challenging you to come alongside them to support the work of AFA and AFR. So we're encouraging folks to give during this next hour, well, really close to an hour and 20 minutes. And here's how you do that. You call into Share-a-thon Central. That's what we call the large room. It's our devotion room, typically, where we do our prayer requests and have our devotions Monday through Friday as we prepare for the work day. That has been transformed into Share-a-thon. And there are folks waiting to engage with listeners who want to make pledges for Share-a-thon. Here's the number to call. There are people sitting by, standing by to take your call. 877-616-2396. That's the number to call to make your pledge. 877-616-2396. Or you can go online to give at AFR.net. And we do have a Fall Share-a-thon premium for a one-time gift of $150 or more. You will receive the Revive Us Again travel bag. Or if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you will receive not only the Revive Us Again travel bag, but the new book by our very own Tim Wildman titled Because These Things Matter, a compilation of cultural commentaries. And these are taken from among the many columns that Tim has written over the years.
Over the decades. Yeah. Okay. And we might have enough for a volume two.
I think so.
Yeah.
The only thing, they're always well written, by the way.
Thank you.
Sometimes they are.
I don't hear that enough. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're always very well written, Tim.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get excluded simply because they deal with a specific event from 1996 or 2005. Yeah. So those we don't usually include.
No, these are timeless.
They are. They're timeless.
Timeless.
And Tim, let me say, they're very well written. That's three times in the last 60 seconds I said it.
So I got this book that our team helped me put together called Because These Things Matter. And so we'll send you the book and the travel bag if you will become a AFR
Great Commission Partner.
We defined a Great Commission Partner, somebody who makes a pledge of $30 or more a month, 40, 50, 100, how much you want to do a month is up to you, but minimum of $30 a month. If you'll do that, then you become a Great Commission Partner. And it's easy to do. We do bank draft, credit card, debit card, however you want to give.
Right.
Where it's, you don't have to think about it. It's just a donation you give monthly. You don't have to write a check, find an envelope, get them a $7 first class postage stamp now? Is that what we're up to?
$7.
Good night, huh?
It's sometimes it, listen, it takes, we have a lot of mail carriers.
I'm not blaming them.
Who listen. Yeah. And so a lot of great people work for the Postal Service, but sometimes it takes weeks to get someplace. And
well, it's like 70, it is like 75, 77 cents now for a first class stamp. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
So anyway, but if you want to just make it easy and give monthly, we can do that. Let me give you the phone number. This calls our offices here in our studios, 877-616-2396. To make your pledge and be as generous as you can, call 877-616-2396 or go online to our website, afr.net, afr.net.
So you call that number, it doesn't go to Bangladesh or...
No, doesn't go to Bangladesh or South Africa or anywhere. It goes to...
Comes right here.
Right here. Right here where we are.
Now, Brent Creeley, our spectacularly mediocre producer. No, he's really good.
Can you be spectacularly mediocre? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I know.
But anyway, he looked it up. 73 cents for a stamp.
Yeah. Well, that's 73 cents now. Wait till tomorrow. I'm just saying, wait till tomorrow. All right, you're listening to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio, Fred, Tim, and Ed. Well, one of our more popular podcasts that we offer at AFR.net is Sandy Rios 24/7. Sandy Rios 24/7. And Sandy provides three podcasts a week on our website, AFR.net. Many of you familiar with Sandy from her 10 years on the air in the morning for us here at American Family Radio. Now she switched over to doing a podcast. So you can still hear Sandy's thoughts, news, and information and analysis by going to that podcast.
And her melodious voice.
Yeah.
You mentioned before that she's
That's right. She was a singer.
Yep.
Yeah, accomplished singer. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Sorry, I was trying to stifle my laughter from bursting forth over your dialogue. But yeah. Thank you so much, Ed.
Yes, well.
My melodious.
Yes, melodious.
Hey, can listen, we're not kidding.
No.
Sandy recorded albums, and she sang in a group or two, did solo work back in the...
Are your albums still available, Sandy?
You know what? I have them, but they're not available. I am the worst promoter. I can promote you, Ed. I'll promote Tim. I'll promote you. I'm the worst promoter of myself in the world.
Well,
so no.
Then let us promote you.
They're not available.
They're just not available. Okay.
I have them. I have to put them online and deal with all that. You know. So.
Yeah.
But no. But I did three albums in my lifetime, and there's still, there's still some just. Beautiful songs.
Oh, okay. Now, Sandy, let me just interrupt here.
What?
You know you can put these things on Amazon and you send them the copies and then they get a portion of it. But then you can just tell people, just look up my name on Amazon.com and you can buy my album. Or all
three. You know, that's a great idea. I'm writing that down. Truthfully, I have spent my life, this is not bragging. This is a stupidity that I carry, and that is I spent my life just in the news, and not just that, but in the cause, in the spreading, talking about Jesus. I'm not thinking about selling albums in the back lobby. I've always been bad at that, or my own book. I always had a really tender conscience about using my platform to make money. I'm not saying it's wrong because we have to do that in order to do what we do. But I've just gone the other way, and it hasn't worked out well.
But get with Ed. Ed's all about making money. That's what he lives for.
Well, listen, I'm with you, though, Sandy. So some people know that I wrote a science fiction novel, and I had people who said, you know, you ought, because I go to a fairly large church, and they said, you ought to ask Pastor Scooter to mention it and sell it in the foyer when people come. And I said, no. No, I'm being serious. I said, I'm not going to take my book up there and hawk it in the church.
Right.
So, and again, some people may sell books. I'm not being judgmental. Conscience-wise, no, I can't. I find it very difficult to promote
myself. I'll sell it for you if you give me a cut.
And the novel's really good. But when we're not here to talk about my novel, we're here to talk about your. That's what you ought to do. It's kind of like fire and forget. You just send them the copies, and then you just tell people just search for my name on.
That's a great idea.
One pet question to contemplate.
Yes.
This is only to contemplate, not as you say to judge.
Yes.
What's the point of creating a product, be it a book or a CD, if you're not going to sell it? Conscience about making money off of it.
Yeah, no, listen. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something kind of funny because my wife, this is so.
Get the books out of the basement?
No. AFA sells them. You can go to resources.afa.net and you can find my book. And then once a quarter, I get a royalty check from AFA.
Yeah.
And they're usually $2.58 or $3.
Like maybe a Happy Meal, maybe.
One time, I think it was $15 or whatever. And my wife says, do you really want me to cash this at the bank? Can we just burn it? So, no, you're right. I don't have a problem about selling things. You want, if you believe in what you do, you want to get it out there.
You know?
It's just, I understand.
You just don't want to sell it.
But you know what? I'm going to start being more diligent, and so is Sandy Rios.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Sandy, the podcast now has been going a year and a half, or over that, really. You started January of 2023. And give us a short promo. How about promote yourself, Sandy? promote the podcast. Do that.
Well, the one thing I say about it, it's like when you are used to watching television and now you can record shows and you can listen when you want to roll them back, rewind, and listen again. This is what podcasting is for radio. So this is like radio for people who would like that opportunity. Now, the podcast is very much like the morning show that I used to do, except the difference is that I can't be timely every day like I used to. But I do still stay as much as I can in time with the news. I'm traveling a lot more and taking the equipment. I just was at Pray Vote Stand, and I did 10 interviews in a day and a half. So I have a lot of content, but because I can get away from the studio and don't have to do like a Monday morning show or Friday morning show, I can travel, and so I store up the podcast, but that means that Monday's show was not day of news. So that's the disadvantage, but I'm doing some great long-form interviews, which I've always enjoyed. I used to do that on Fridays, but now I'm able to do that throughout the week. I did one recently that I just personally enjoyed so much was an interview with the screenwriter for the Reagan movie, Howie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. That was the most fun interview because, of course, the movie is a lot about the Cold War, Berlin, Russia, all those things. That's my bailiwick. I lived in Berlin. I've been to Russia doing interviews, the KGB and other people. So just really, besides, of course, remembering Reagan as I did in my lifetime. So that was a blowout from my perspective. I did one on Israel. I do often things on Israel, but one recently with a Jewish friend of mine who was not a believer in Christ. And she gave insight into what's going on in Israel, things that you won't hear in other places. And then I also did, I was at another conference. I was at in Texas at this 1A Film Fest, they called it, and that it was premiering 12 different really fabulous movies about the First Amendment, about what's going on in J6, updates on that. And in the process, just accidentally, in the lobby, when I walked in, this young man who was taking photos, I introduced myself to him. He said, oh, I know who you are. I said, okay. He said, I've known you from Media Watch for many years. He said, I'm a liberal and I'm an atheist. So that really sparked interest. He's very respectful. And he was very respectful to me. And so we did actually two different shows. I talked to him about, he said, ask if he could interview me. And I said, yes, but how about we interview each other? And let's sit, you got your equipment, I have my equipment. You ask me anything you want to ask. And so we talked about the world and politics and all of that. And he was sort of challenging me on my positions. And then we talked about faith. It was stunning. And I still am in touch with him. So there are really meaningful things that take place on the podcast. I I think people are really enjoying it. I had talked to Gary Hamrick just last week. I always love his sermons, his preaching, and so I had a chance to spend time with him. And I could go on and on. You know, we did a thing on this abortion issue is such a big deal and such a harmful. We've taken such a harmful turn on that. So I find myself talking about that more frequently than I used to because we were in a better place. So we did a whole show on Amber Nicole Thurman, the girl that was pregnant with twins, took the abortion pill and then ended up dying. I'm giving a truncated version, but she ended up dying in a hospital because not all the parts of the baby came out. She got terribly infected. Oof. It's horrible, horrible story. So that's, of course, I'm covering the news, what's happening in Washington, what's happening all over the globe. That's at Sandy Rios 24/7. You can find it at afr.net. That's our homepage. You can find it on my website, sandyrios.com, also in other places.
Yeah, so talking to Sandy Rios, Sandy has an excellent and very popular podcast we host on American Family Radio website. So just go to afr.net, click on podcast, and you'll see Sandy's banner there, Sandy Rios 24/7, and then you can listen to any of the shows she's done, the interviews she's done that she's talking about right there and others. Fred?
Yeah, Sandy, Fred here.
Hi, Fred.
Hey,
Fred.
Hey, listen, one thing you don't deal with is misinformation. You know?
Well, that would be true.
That's, you know, even the new favorite word of the Biden-Harris contingent there. I just wanted to play you a little excerpt of what I've heard from them and the...
Is this the mainstream news we're about to hear, or what are we going to hear? Clips?
Mainstream news.
Okay.
If you include Biden and Harris and my good friend Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yes.
All right. Cut number three.
Are we concerned about any misinformation or disinformation regarding evacuations that we need to clear up at this point?
There's been a lot of misinformation out there, Madam Vice President.
Why do you think Trump is spreading misinformation?
I don't know. It's un-American.
I'm going to divorce the disinformation that is being spread. Disinformation is harmful.
Well, Sandy, they kind of put away the threat to democracy line. And now what we're hearing over and over and over again is misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I just have a word about that. Now, in regard to the disaster relief, I did a whole show on that, too, because I was getting all kinds of information from people about what they were not seeing on the ground, horrible stories about what FEMA was not doing. And we actually played a conference for a FEMA trainer that happened recently talking about this storm. And they were talking about how concerned they were about LGBTQ people and how they might have to go to Christian shelters and be misgendered and not be able to use the bathrooms. That's what they were concerned about. So I'm just telling you, it's not disinformation that FEMA is just perverted and foul and not really helping normal people. They don't have a heart to do it. And if you think possibly we've gotten this wrong, think of it this way. Anybody that would kill a baby through its ninth month, let a baby die on a table who's alive, born alive after a botched abortion, let them die, put them in a closet. Anybody who embraces partial birth abortion, do you think for a moment they wouldn't lie? Do you think that they would lie? Wouldn't lie. And do you think for a moment that they would not save people that were the wrong kind of people to them? Not transgender, not politically correct. You better take it to the bank that that's exactly what they would do. They would do. They are evil, wicked people, and their philosophy comes from the pit of hell. So, yeah, they want us to believe lies. We're not going to do that. We are not going to believe lies.
Sandy, can you? We're trying to draw out your opinion here and what you actually think. Can you?
Yeah.
Can you be a little more explicit?
This Karine Jean-Pierre impersonation.
You know what? I had this atheist Patrick is his name. He's one of the things he said to me. Even though he hates what I believe, believes the opposite. He knew that I was always honest. All these years, he's listened to me. And so that's very important to me, to be steadfast and bold. Always make sure, I don't always have everything. I don't know everything. How could I? That would be silly. But when it comes to truth, I'm dedicated to that because we have a God of truth. And if I'm wrong about it, I correct it at some point. I will admit anytime I get something wrong. So That's what we have to be as people, people of faith, people of the book, the God that we serve. We have to be truthful, and we have to stress truth in an age of lies.
Yeah. Hey, Sandy, before we let you go, I know you live in Florida. What's the situation with the hurricane where you are?
Well, interestingly, we were right in its target, and we were really worried about it because, you know, it was Category 5 at some point, and then 5, then 4, then 5. And so we were concerned about water because our house is not real high. We were concerned about, we have huge trees behind us, and when we do have storms, they groan. They're in a preserve. They're not our trees, and they groan. I mean, like a giant. It's really creepy sound. So we were worried about those two things besides, of course, destruction from winds and all of that. We woke up this morning. Well, Bruce actually stayed up most of the night. We woke up this morning. We never lost our power. We never, our house is not affected. And but believe it or not, when I got up this morning, because he was sleeping because he was up all night, I went out to our lanai and looked over to the far side of it, and there was a huge tree that had fallen down just as we had been afraid, only inches from the corner of my office studio where I'm talking now.
Wow.
It didn't hit our house at all. And our neighbor had a tree right next to it that fell. It fell partially on their house, didn't, but it's a huge tree. So we've got, it's just amazing. It was a well-founded fear, but it didn't hit our house. So right. We are very grateful. But other people are suffering. I think there's been 4 deaths. I'm just learning myself about the rest of the state. But we are just grateful to God, and then now praying for others as they're trying to recover.
Okay. Well, listen, folks, you can check out Sandy's 3 times a week podcast at AFR.net. Click on podcast and then click on Sandy's banner there, Sandy Rios 24/7 at AFR.net. Click on podcast. Thank you, Sandy. Take care. See you later.
My pleasure, you guys. Always great to talk to you. Thank you. Okay.
Take care.
Thank you, Sandy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I was in a house. I mentioned this before. My father-in-law, mother-in-law's house. This is 20 years ago when it was a stormy night and tornado watch, tornado warnings.
Right.
And this wasn't, what happened wasn't because of a tornado, but it was very windy and stormy, and a pine tree came through the roof.
I remember you telling that.
Came through the roof and through the ceiling, both roof and then into the den.
People don't realize how strong and heavy a tree is.
Yeah.
Because if it hits your roof, guess what? It's coming through.
It's coming through.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. But that is, you talk about a surreal moment. Now, nobody got hurt, thank the Lord.
Right.
Because we had family members in there I wasn't in there at the time. But, you know, you walk into a den. You hear a boom, and then you walk into the den, and you see a big tree branch.
Yeah,
touching the carpet, and you know it was. So I'm saying, sadly, a lot of people get killed in storms like that because of trees falling.
Yes,
falling.
And increasingly, insurance companies who insure houses, they'll tell people, they'll survey the property and say, you got to cut these trees down. Because we're not paying for we're not going to insure you because those trees could destroy your house.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. And Steve Paisley Jordahl will join us. And we're going to visit also with Todd Herman next hour, one of our newest broadcasters here on American Family Radio. Todd Herman will stop by. So stay with us. Share-a-thon rolls on.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.